Luke 12, a couple of verses. Verse 6, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And another verse on birds in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven of heaven. I'd like to just briefly speak of a little bird in Exodus. First meet her in Exodus 2. Exodus chapter 2. Let's start with verse 14. I think we know the story well. And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs with water to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son. And he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land, and your margin may give you the name, a stranger here. So we pass on. We know the Lord called Moses to go down to Egypt to deliver his people from their bondage. And after the interchange between Moses and the Lord, he finally goes, just like to pass over that portion. And look at chapter 4 and verse 24. This is on his way to Egypt. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband art thou because of the circumcision. Then I think in chapter 21, perhaps one more portion, chapter 18, verse 1, when Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back. And her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses in the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. I can't remember, maybe a couple years ago, brother took up different types of the Church of God and various women in Scripture. I really enjoyed it. And he touched on Zipporah just briefly, but I'd like to look at her a little bit more. Her name means little bird. I was looking it up in the Talmud, and one of the rabbis insisted that it means a kosher bird, which I thought was interesting. A little bird. I thought of her as born in that family. I suppose her father named her, maybe her father and mother. And what a lovely name, little bird. You know, I think as a father, we tend to think of our daughters that way, little birds. And she was one of seven daughters. I would take it probably the oldest. And she's a little picture to us as Moses' wife of the church, the bride of Christ. But not like Asenath, Joseph's wife, who was his companion in his glory and his exaltation. Even before it was known to his brethren that he had that place of exaltation. And so we are united to Christ now. We are his bride in the day of his exaltation at the right hand of the majesty on high before the day has come when his brethren, the Jews, will be aware of that glory and honor that God has bestowed upon him. But that's not the place that Zipporah has. She is a picture of the bride of the church in the adversity of the wilderness, in a day when things weren't so good. And she, unlike Asenath, who was an ornament, you might say, an enhancement to Joseph's glory, she's a discredit to Moses. She's a danger to him, a dishonor. She accuses him. She misjudges him. She misunderstands him. The first time she saw him, she says it's an Egyptian. She didn't recognize him. And in the account where we read of the circumcising of her son, circumcision being a picture to us of what the cross has done for us in separating us from this world, as well as the law and other things. She casts that foreskin at his feet. You're a bloody husband to me. She just rejects that thought of circumcision imposed upon her. She just really doesn't want that, if I can put it that way, that separation that the cross brought in. It's too difficult. It's too hard. And you brought this on me. And she accuses him, bloody husband. Now, perhaps many number have left, but I just a little side word exercise my heart in connection with this. We read later when her father brings her back to Moses that she not only has Gershom, she has another son in chapter 18. And Moses had named Gershom a stranger, but he names the second son in connection with God's deliverance of him from Pharaoh. And I take it from the sword of Pharaoh that he's Eliezer. From the sword of Pharaoh, that really goes back to the day when he fled from Pharaoh. Not when he went down to deliver the people, but in the day when he fled. So he's both a stranger and delivered from the sword of Pharaoh. And so I believe when he went down to Egypt with Zipporah, He didn't just have Gershom with him, he had Eliezer too, both boys. But only one is circumcised by his mother. My conclusion, I'll leave it with you, is it was Eliezer. I believe that Gershom had already been circumcised, and she said, I'm not going through that again. I'm not doing this again. This was too hard. And she put it off, and he allowed and went along with her in it. But God had said to Abraham that he was to circumcise all the males in his family, and the soul that was not would be cut off because they had not kept the covenant of their God. And so the angel of the Lord meets Moses at the inn, and he strives to slay him because, interestingly, not Eliezer, but Moses, he was the responsible one. But he had gone along with her, I believe, and not circumcised him. And now he was a little older boy. You know, it's one thing when you circumcise a baby, but it's another thing when you have a little older boy and you want to circumcise him and he doesn't want to be. It's going to be a violent, bloody time. There are things, parents, that are easy when your children are little. That if you wait till they're older, you can't accomplish them without, I'll just put it in that way, a certain amount of stress, upset. I don't want to say violence. I don't think that quite applies, but you get the picture. Illustrate it this way. Seeing two families exercised to baptize their households in faith, and one where it was their exercise, and when that child was young, they went to brother, grandpa, and said, would you baptize your grandson? And he did it. What a privilege. Bring them onto Christian ground. Another where they had that exercise, but they just put it off because, it's a big thing, you know, dunking a baby under the water and put it off. And then got really burned, you know, we need to do this. And that child got in the water and he fought. He wasn't going to be put under that water. Not old enough quite to know what was going on, but big enough to be really afraid. And it was not a happy time in that aspect of that baptism. That's your exercise. Don't put it off. And many other things we could bring in practical application in that. She put it off. And the consequence was it was pretty unpleasant. And she laid the blame at Moses' feet. A bloody husband art thou to me. Well, how have we been? As his bride in the adversity of the wilderness, have we laid the blame sometimes at the Lord's feet? Connection with the difficulties that come with separation from this world. It's not always comfortable, is it? Of the trials that may come, have we laid the blame at his feet? Have we misunderstood him? Have we at times not recognized him and his hand in our lives? In the time that Moses needed her most to stand with him, he has to send her back. He has to send her back. The time he needed that support most, she was not there. At the time he needed her to own him most, she was not there. In that sense, she denied him. How have we been? Searches the heart, doesn't it? Conscience. But when I think of her name, I think of the grace of God. In spite of what we are and what we have been, and the responsibility of that relationship that we have been brought into. Little birds, little birds are the occupation of the Father's heart. Not one falls to the ground without your Father, which is in heaven. Little birds have the tender care and love of the Father's heart. And little birds, as we read in Genesis, are made to fly in heavenly places, in a heavenly sphere. And that's our portion by His grace. And in spite of all that we are, practically in this time, in the wilderness, we're objects of His grace and His love and His care. And the fact is, when she met Moses, he was a homeless stranger, an outcast, rejected by the world. And his coming glories were obscure. You wouldn't know what was coming. And she loved him. In that day, and she became his wife. In the day of his rejection. And I don't think he ever forgot it. And our Lord never will.